worship you, Jesus.
Magnificent.
Worship you, Jesus.
Worthy.
Magnify you. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. I have mountains. Mountains and mountains of my grace, which you've never been baptized in. These things are all in the perimeter of my word. There's nothing outside of it. But let no man be your prototype except one, the firstborn, saith the Spirit of grace. For I've given mountains and mountains of grace through him for you to change into his very image. If you embrace this grace, the days ahead and this year to come, you'll find that the very things that he, your enemy, tried to stop you with in former days has no effect. That which he tried to stop was not your life going forward, but the life of my son in you going forward. For know this, that all those who can see past him embrace the life of my son, and the life that is in him is this grace that'll take you to the very image that he is in the earth. For the earth waits. The earth is waiting. The very nature itself is crying out for the manifestation of the sons of God. For I desire to come back. I desire to come and gather, but the harvest is what I desire first and foremost. That which has come and days gone by to stop you cannot stop you. For I've left mountains and mountains of grace. Whoever mines in these mountains, whoever explores these mountains, finds a swath of life behind them filled with peace and joy. What man cannot give in religion, I've given in life, saith the Spirit of grace. Go into that which I have left, for I've left more than enough, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
I say,
that
Immokalee
is in revival.
I say
that this region
is in revival.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
Thousands and thousands.
Thousands and thousands.
Are born again,
in this outpouring.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, Father. If we keep praying it enough, and I keep saying it enough, we'll not wear you out, but we'll come into agreement with everything that you are. Turn this house upside down. Don't leave it the same. Whatever religion we have in us, shake out of us in Jesus' name. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from mindsets that, Lord God, that we have thought, that we have understood would please you, but yet, Lord, is not who you are. Take us to places. Deliver us from ourselves. Deliver us from religion. Turn this place into a place, a habitation of your glory, so that men not would glorify us, but they would come in here and be changed in Jesus' name. That the glory of God would be here so strong that people would come in here, feel your love, feel your presence, that the glory of God would come, thy kingdom come, that no man would glory, but thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Not that a church would be built, but your kingdom would be built and thoroughly furnished Father, we worship you. Give us this, we pray. Give us this, we pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I think you need to give somebody a great big holiday hug. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're here this morning. Evidently, a lot of people ate a lot during the holidays, and they're still having a hard time getting out of bed. I can see that. But we're glad you're here. We appreciate that. Hallelujah. Would one of you guys get the offering baskets? I want to exhort you just for a few moments, and just a little bit later, if you didn't get a chance to see him or give him a hug, Mr. Michael Muccio is here today. Hallelujah. Amen. And he's going to be bringing us a word from the Lord. Amen. And it was so good last time. I was just asking him how long it had been or when was he here with us last. I think it was sometime in June. And some of you guys may remember even more specifically the dates. And I don't know if he brought any more books or not, but you can talk about that when you get up. Amen. And I'll introduce him in just a little bit. Why don't you turn with me? Let me exhort you for just a couple minutes out of 1 Timothy. And let's go to chapter 6. Praise the Lord. I will say this particular giving this morning will be for the church, and you'll be given the opportunity after Michael ministers to bless him in giving as well. But 1 Timothy chapter 6, are you looking at it? Otherwise, I believe you have it memorized, okay? It's hard to do any part of these verses without reading from verse 1 so that I take it in context. Paul is writing, and Timothy, of course, is the pastor at the church at Ephesus. And Timothy's got a big job, and Paul instructs him a lot. And one of the instructions that he's going to give Timothy, we're going to examine this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 6, it says, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit." And that benefit is being, of course, salvation in Christ. "These things teach and exhort." Now, we don't really have anything even close to slavery in America, so we can't hardly catch the essence of these. The closest thing that you could get to verse 2 would be possibly employment and how you treat your employees and how your employees treat you, if there is that Christian relationship between employer and employee. But continuing on in verse 3, it says, "If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, if he's proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes, and words whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil submissings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which or from such withdraw thyself." Now, I could go off here on a long tangent, which is not necessary, but there's good teaching here, and not in a tangent way. But the church has evolved, so much of the church has evolved. There is a strong prosperity message in the Word. It's there. It's there. It's our foundation. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be prosperous. There's also a prosperity message that has been founded and derived and brought forth through the doctrines of men. And the doctrines of men, of course, is opposed to the doctrine of Christ. When the reality of the core, the crux, the very center of all things, it's all about Christ, and it's all about souls. That's what it's about. We've been left here for souls. He wants you, while you're laboring in the vineyard for souls, he wants you to be happy, he wants you to be prosperous, and he wants your body to be blessed, because you can be, he loves you that much, first of all, and you're also a better laborer when everything's provided for. But the gospel that much of the gospel, not entirely, but much of the gospel that's out there, especially in cyberspace and on the media world, is that gain equates godliness. In other words, if you got blessed, or you got money coming in, or you got property, or you got this or that and the other, it's an equivocation that God's laid his hand on you and you're being blessed by God. That's what Paul said, that men will say in the last days that gain is equal to, equal signs, godliness. In other words, God's blessing you because he can, because you're godly, and he's sanctioning or saying, I approve your life, which is false, which is a lie. How many of you know, if you don't know, that Satan is the god of this world, and there's a lot of rock stars and a lot of ungodly people and a lot of people in a lot of other foreign countries that are killing people that are rich, and God didn't give it to them? And there are thousands of Christians that are making money, and God loves them, and they're going to go to heaven. But God is not the one that has necessarily got his hand on their life. Most of the time you'll hear him say, God's blessed me with this. I don't know if he is or not. You're sleeping around over there, and God's blessing you over here. It just don't work that way. But they're saying, well, yeah, but by, you know, I got a raise, and I paid off my car, and I paid off my house, so evidently he's kind of not paying too much attention to that. Oh, yeah, he's paying attention to it. And all that you're doing over here is just that you're going through the mechanics. If you do the right things in the earth, you get blessed whether you're a satanic worshiper or what. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can get blessed cursing God every day, blessed as in natural things. I said we weren't going to go into that, and I did. It's just good teaching. But godliness with contentment is great gain. And here's bottom line, I mean, right at the basement. For we brought nothing into the world, this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now you say, Pastor, do you mean that's all God ever wants to? No. He wants far more than that for you, just far more than food and raiment. But he's saying, if you can find the place in God where the aspirations of a bigger and better and all that other stuff, if you really can find the place that you love him so much and your aspiration is to know Jesus and to be filled with him, that even with your food and your water and just the clothes on your back, you're just happy as you can be, just as happy as you can be. Now, I can tell you this. If a man came up and gave me $1 million today, I'd celebrate. But there's just, unless I do not know who I am in Christ, there's no way that he can increase my joy in Christ Jesus. There's no way. Because there's no void in there looking like somebody's got something that I don't have. I need to have what they've got. They can't give it to me. But he says this: they that will be rich, in other words, that's their life pursuit, will fall into temptation, snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition, For the love of money is the root of all evil. We just did a teaching on that, and many of you remember that. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and they've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after. What are we after? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Now, he gives this charge to Timothy, but this charge goes out to all of us. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto, I got to stop. Lay hold in the Greek has a picture to it, means to seize. If I'm like squeezing this pulpit, I have seized it. I have laid hold on it. And he's saying, in the same manner, let your aspirations, everything inside of you, grab, squeeze, hold on eternal life and everything that's part of that, everything that is above, seize it, cling to it, and let that be your fulcrum. Let that be your focus in life, everything about it. Fight the good fight of faith, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Timothy, if you do this, if you'll seize hold on it, there will never be a time in which I or the Holy Spirit or God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole corporate structure of heaven, you'll never be rebukable. In other words, there'll never be a time that the Holy Spirit will say, you've lost focus. You'll always be right where God wants you to be. Verse 15, which in times past he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. And he continues on with the same subject. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertainty or uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to communicate, are ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Now right there, and we're coming to a close here on this exhortation, but where we usually lose the room is this. Charge them that are rich in this world. Now you could receive everything up to that point, but everybody's mind goes, lost me, lost me. And then your mind sometimes will go, well, maybe you can think of one or two people in the room that you think, I would consider them a rich person. They need to hear what Paul was saying to Timothy. It's amazing to me how that I, evidently you do, because I'm a human being, and this is how I interpret the Word of God. I interpret the Word of God so USA, and it's not a USA, an American book. It's an eternal heavenly book. I interpret it when I'm reading the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit has to tweak my mind and take me out of that place where I'm not thinking like the country that I'm living in and interpret all of everything, not just money, but let me just put it like this. There are 195 nations on the planet. We're just one. There are 7.1 plus billion people on the planet. I remember when I was a little boy, there was only 4 billion something. We're increasing. 7.1 billion. America is 300 and something million people. We're less than 5% of the world population, less than 5%. But we're the top of the food chain. In other words, everything goes down from us monetarily. I've been in Europe. I've been in Asia. I've been in Latin America. I can promise you, we are the richest nation in all of the 195, and everything goes down from us. Everything. When I was in Guatemala several years ago on a couple different occasions, I remember two times I went down there, they had me preaching, and they also had me building. I was leading a big building crew. One time I was building a church at the base of a big volcano up in the mountains at this mountain village, and there was a lot of people living there. The other time I was down in Guatemala City, and I was building an orphanage. Now, they didn't take me down to the dump, but they described it for me. But I saw what I saw up in the villages. There are families, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of families that live at the dump. And their whole life, their children, mom and dad, is every day when they awake, when their eyes open, they pillage through the dump to see what has been scraped off from any restaurants or anything in the upper Guatemala City or anything that has been left that they can eat and consume for the day. I promise you this. When I was in the other village, when I would walk up and we pray for some people when I was not building, the worst that you could find me, when you drive around Immokalee, the worst that you could find and say, my God, look at that place. It's about to fall over. It's a dump. It's terrible. The worst in 1st Street, 2nd Street, any of that over there, and we're calling them all over here, and I hope if anybody hears that they don't think I'm demeaning that. If you live there, you're a prize to us. The worst that we have in Immokalee is unbelievably, unbelievably rich compared to those people. What I'm saying is this. If you understand the world, and you understand that Paul was not writing to Americans, he was writing to people who had and those who had not. I promise you, if you live in America, even if you don't have a job, even if you're subsidized by food stamps and by the government through disability, this, that, and the other, the average pay for many nations is maybe $200 American dollars a year for many of those men. If you live in America, when you read this scripture, charge they that those that be rich, you all qualify. Everybody in this room qualifies. Now, why are you saying that, Pastor? To extract money from us? No. To take the joy in what Paul says this, that we be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Are you glad? Then here's our posture, here's our disposition, that they do good work, or that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, and that means in giving. Well, I'm not rich. Oh, yeah, you are rich. If you're unemployed this morning, remember, this word is not written to the Americans. This is written to 7 point something billion people. We qualify. All it's telling us that have anything other than, if you're not going to the Immokalee dump tomorrow to pillage your food, we qualify in this. And again, I don't care if you give this morning or not. I'm just saying the beauty of this verse is this. As someone having my disposition or my posture in the Spirit is always willing to distribute, always willing to give, always willing to say, Lord, if I've got two shirts, does one of them belong to somebody else? If I've got two coats, does one of them belong to anybody else? If I've got two of anything, what belongs in my household, what belongs in my bank account, what belongs in my entire life to you? And that's really what the church is made out of, is this willingness to give, a willingness to distribute. Amen. Praise God. Did you get anything out of that? Father, we bless you. We ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. We call them Mockley saved. We thank you, Father, for your great grace, your blessings on our life. We thank you that as far as I know, everybody in this room had a Christmas meal, and we're so thankful for it. And Lord, as far as I know, everyone in this room will eat today, and we're so thankful for it. We speak these things not to shame. We speak these things of a grateful heart, thanking you for the nation that we live in. And we ask you, Lord, to speak to our hearts now, and that we'll distribute, communicate. We bless in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, and we'll greet each other. And during this greeting, again, just for a brief moment, and then I'll bring on Michael in just a moment. We're going to enjoy this morning. Hallelujah. If you have something to give this morning, bring it down. If you don't, just give somebody a great big hug. Hallelujah. Amen.
Treasure in heaven, there's one thing that cannot be taken. I just want the gold of knowing you. Nothing else will stand the heat of your gaze when I see you, Lord, face to face. I just want the gold of knowing you. I just want treasure in heaven. There's one thing that cannot be taken. I just want the gold of knowing you. Cause nothing else will stand.
Hallelujah.
The heat of your gaze when I see you.
Praise
Lord,
God.
Face to face. I just want the gold of knowing.
Would you just stretch your faith this way, Rex?
Father, we thank you for this offering this morning. Thank you for that exhortation, Lord, that it's the truth of your word, Lord, and we give out of the abundance of our hearts and out of that communicating through worship is a part of giving. And Father, we thank you that we bless in this offering now, Lord, and bless Michael as he comes forth with the word today, Lord, and bless his ministry also, Lord. And everything that we do, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Matt, while you're still up there, before you get down with your lovely wife there and sit, could you get ready one more song? I think we'll do that and let everybody else get in here and those guys that are taking care of that. But I just want to make a couple announcements, or at least one. Tuesday night, we are going to gather here for watch night or bring in the new year. And I think we'll do that at around 8:30. Is that what time we started last year? We will eat to start with some. Please, if you're going to be a part of that, or if you're not, it's okay if you can't bring anything, but can they see you? I guess. We hadn't talked about this earlier. We've been so busy, like the rest of you, with the holidays. But we're going to start at 8:30, and then we'll go through midnight, and we will have at least a half of that will be fellowship at the time, and then we'll have communion. And we'll also have a number of you just share some testimonies. I think you need to meet and talk to the guy that has nine lives. There's somebody in here who calls themselves having nine lives, and hopefully he'll be here. And a lot of you probably went through a number of your supposed lives in the last year. But you know what? I can tell you, 2013, by the grace of God, I went forward in Christ. I did not go backwards. I went forward. I grew. I got past some things. Hallelujah. Candy grew. She got past me. Hallelujah. And we're still, I'll tell you what, I cannot promise you in 2014, at the end of it, looking at you next year at this time, I cannot promise you that we'll have a bigger congregation. I can promise you this, that if we follow what we're supposed to follow, we will be formed more into the image of Christ. We will eliminate. He in us will eliminate a lot of excuses of why we cannot. Hallelujah. Christmas morning, I woke. I have not even asked the Lord. If it was a total God dream, it had enough dynamics in it of like things that had just happened to me the couple of days before that you think that was all just the demographics of all this coming together. You know how your mind will contrive things, but I remember it now so vividly. I woke up Christmas morning to this dream. I was in a place. It was the church, but it wasn't this building. And be careful before you rejoice. There was, I don't know how many, it was packed. And it was buzzing. It was like, there had to be like hundreds of people in there. And it was our service. I was the pastor. And it was our church. It was kind of our church, but it wasn't. I mean, kind of this building, but because when I walked outside, it was kind of like the bathroom facilities, but there's no way that those bathrooms would hold like 300-400 people. But it was buzzing. And I remember that, I woke up to this dream, and I remember the excitement of having a whole lot of people. The only thing is, somebody come in, it wasn't Michael, that stood up and started kind of entertaining, and everybody was just loving it. You know, most of the church world they don't know the difference between anointing and entertainment. And they just love entertainment. And the place was rocking. And then, and I didn't say anything to be nice. You know, I try to be nice. And they asked me for the mic, and I said, okay. And then they called up a couple other people, and then they started doing some worship stuff and some real high-tempo stuff. And the whole place was, man, it was like, if you'd have walked into it, you'd have said, man, that's the kind of church I want. There's life in here. There's vibrance. And there was hundreds of people, man, and people were just, but I had this it was a double feeling. It felt so good to have hundreds in there, but it had this seeker-friendly kind of, and I walked outside. Sorry, Marty. Oh, Marty, I got to pick on him because he does so much. The elders were out there just doing stuff. They were just doing stuff. I remember Marty was doing stuff, and Otto, you know, how those guys work, and Otto was doing stuff. Man, he was putting up all kind of stuff, and the elders were just totally kind of detached from the spiritual part of it. And when I walked out there and I realized the place inside was just, it was rocking, but it was all buzz. It was all just an emotional buzz. And I walked out there, and I said, oh, my God, I can't. I told Marty, I said, Marty, we can't do this. We can't do this. I said, Marty, we can't have Marty saying that's right. And Marty goes, I know, Pastor. I remember the dream. He goes, I know, Pastor. I know. We're just going to do it this one Sunday. We got to do this stuff. And I said, Marty, we can't do this. We can't do this. I said, we can't do it. I knew it was turning into something like man-made, like a, you know, like you could hype people up. And I knew when I walked back in, the service was over. And I knew I didn't even look at a watch. I knew that the service had only lasted 20 minutes. And people were happy to be there, but they were happy to leave. And that group that was up there and people that, you know, that you would know, they had turned the place on, man. And it was just like, and I was like, mm-mm. I detest this. I will not have this. I don't care if there's five of us. We will have a spiritual move of God. Hallelujah. So that's what I woke up to. And I'll tell you what, my motivations have not changed. Why? Because you keep praying in tongues. I believe that's the reason why. We will have our outpouring, and we will see thousands. And the place will buzz at times, but it'll be a Holy Ghost. It'll not be a hyped up, come on, let's do it kind of thing. I want this more than I want life. I want it more than I want life. Let's keep praying. I believe that God has sent us a man this morning that's also going to talk to us about the journey that we're on. So would you give my friend and your friend, Mr. Michael Muccio, a great big hand as he comes this morning. Amen.